So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 15. The Pandavas retire timely. Text number 1.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Was grief-stricken because of his strong feeling of separation from Krishna over and above all Maharaj Yudhisthira's speculative inquiries. Purport. Being too much aggrieved, Arjuna practically became choked up, and therefore it was not possible for him to reply properly to the various speculative inquiries of Maharaj Yudhisthira.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yathapadakam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Padijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Desai Bhutale Shrimade Bhakti Vedanta Samriti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gaurani Prasarine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschanyadesha Shandine.
So this is not impersonalism. In impersonalism there is no feeling because there's no person to have feeling. It's just all one. People are very much frustrated by their painful dealings in this material existence. Therefore, they sometimes embrace impersonal philosophy. They want Satan by trying to love. Therefore, they want to deny love by embracing the personal philosophy. But this is not a very good philosophy, because we have a nature to want to give love and receive love. That is our nature. To deny that nature is not practical. Because if you cannot come to the point of loving the Supreme, you'll come back to loving this material world once again. They want to deny on the material relationship, embracing a personal philosophy. And even if they undergo great penances and austerities, as described by Lord Brahma, speculating to distinguish the eliminating the mundane, the process of elimination of the mundane through mental speculation, Brahmaji says, going on for thousands and millions of years. Even if they finally achieve the Brahman, after thousands and millions of years of denying these relationships, what do they end up with? Patanti, and how they fall back again to material existence. So does it make any sense to endeavor with such great austerity, penance, such great difficulty, krishchena, with great difficulty, they struggle to merge into Brahman, but again, they fall down again to material existence. So instead of trying to deny love, we should perfect love. This impersonal philosophy is crazy. It's like saying, well, I have a headache, so we go to the doctor, he says, well, I can cut off your head. You won't have any more headache anymore. Just cut off your head. Is that a very good philosophy? The doctor has a guillotine in the back room for people who have incurable headaches. I'll give you your headache right now, come on. Step into this, put your head in this guillotine, and I'll finish your headache once and for all. You see, that's impersonal philosophy. It's not practical. Now keep your head, but cure your headache. Keep your identity, keep your personality, but learn how to perfect it. This process of neti neti, deny, 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 is not practical. If you take it to its final conclusion, eventually, after you've denied everything else, you're going to have to deny denial itself. And then you'll come back to the point of having to accept something which is transcendental. So why go through this process for thousands and millions of years, neti, 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 when at the end you're going to have to come to accepting a loving relationship with the Supreme? Why not just come to the loving relationship now and save so much time and trouble? This is Krishna consciousness. Immediately come. Don't deny your feelings, your emotions. Purify them in relationship with Krishna, Guru, and Vaishnavas. This is Krishna consciousness. From every single angle of vision, this impersonal philosophy is absurd. To say that you are actually God and you simply forgot about it, it doesn't make sense. That means that forgetfulness is greater than God. You understand? How could God fall under forgetfulness? If He's the supreme power, everything is under His control, then how could He forget? They say that actually I'm God, but I just forgot about it. When I was a young spiritual seeker back in Austin, Texas in 1965, 66, I was looking to the east for spiritual wisdom. And we hadn't gotten Prabhupada's books had not yet arrived in Austin. Actually, the book distribution tsunami didn't actually take off until 1972. That's when the big book distribution tsunami manifested, coming, actually started in San Francisco. Some devotees were coming back. No one thought you could sell books, only magazines, you know. You could sell, you go on in Harinam. Actually, we didn't call it Harinam anymore. We called it Sankirtan. Time to go on Sankirtan. It means chanting and dancing on the street, put some Bhakti guided magazine, and you sell a few for 25 cents. That's it. There was no conception of selling books. I mean, you couldn't sell anyone a book. Certainly, it couldn't be possible to sell a book. That was the common conception we all have. In fact, at one point, I was a designated book distributor for the temple. And that meant that I would go to stores and put Prabhupada's books on consignment. It's a new age choice. That was a book distributor. But they were coming back one day from Harinam, and they happened to have a Krishna book, and they needed some gasoline. They didn't have any money to pay for the gasoline. They bargained with the attendant for a tank of gas for a Krishna book. And he did it, and they went, wow, maybe we could actually sell these. Maybe we could actually sell these books. So they tried it, and by golly, they started selling them. And the word, we didn't have internet in those days, but the word really, by telephone, you call up and pass the message. So a message just immediately went all over ISKCON about book distribution, and this whole tsunami, book distribution tsunami, took place. Prabhupada said, whichever temple is distributing more of my books, I will stay there and do my translation work. Now that really fired up a lot of temples, let me tell you. You can get Prabhupada to come and live at your temple if you were distributing more books. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So anyway, the tsunami hadn't yet come to Austin, the book distribution tsunami, and so I was looking for some books on self-realization, and I found a book called The Book, and the subtitle was On the Taboo Against Knowing Who You Are. So in this book, the author proceeded to tell us that actually we are God, and we've just forgotten it. So you just have to remember that you're God. Stop playing hide and go seek with yourself. Come out and, you know, come out. Just come out and be God once again. Reveal yourself as God. So this is pure impersonal philosophy. It doesn't work. I mean, I tried it for a few days. I was floating around in an I am God cloud for a few days, feeling pretty good, but then it didn't work. It wasn't practical. You're God, and everything happens according to your desire, right? You're in complete control, but obviously it becomes, you know, painfully obvious that actually I'm in God. And we even had a Swami come to town, Swami Satchidananda. He came to the Methodist Student Center near the campus, And he said, I'm God, you're God, we're all God. So this is a very popular philosophy in those days. Still going on. But it really took off. It was a new thing back in the early 70s. It was the cool thing on the campuses, you see, to talk Mahayavadi philosophy. That was the hip, cool thing to talk about, you know. We were doing prasadam distribution on the University of Florida campus, and I remember when a student came up, Rahinti, he came up to me and said, I am God. So, this may seem very fashionable, is it, to be God, but it's not practical. I mean, it is appealing to an atheist. You see, he says, well, there is no God. And you say, well, if I told you that you were God, do you think you can believe in God? Oh, sure, no problem. This is actually what Shankaracharya did. Buddha had come and completely denied the Vedas. He denied the existence of God. And Shankaracharya came and taught that we're all God, so, but in the name of the Vedas, by doing very clever manipulations of the Sanskrit grammar and the Vedanta Sutra specifically. He established an impersonal understanding of the Supreme, which was presented in such a way that Buddhists became converted back again to Vedic culture, but it was a distorted version of Vedic culture. It was not pure Vedic culture. So then Krishna, actually Shankaracharya came on the order of Krishna. And then, by Krishna's order, a whole lineup of Vaishnava Acharyas came. Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarka, Vishnuswami, culminating in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They came and established Vaishnava philosophy once again. The sublime philosophy, Achintya Bhedaved Tattva. It was amazing, actually, presentation. You see, in philosophy, there's thesis, antithesis, which is the opposite, and then there's synthesis, where you synthesize them into one, you know, new philosophy that resolves the conflict. You see. So, Mahayavadi philosophy, you see, the idea is all one. And there's also the idea that it's just, there's duality. There's, you know, a non-duality and duality was synthesized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Simultaneous, inconceivable duality and non-duality. But the absolute truth is, everything is one in the sense that it all comes from then Krishna, it all comes from the absolute. So everything is God's energy. And the energy of God is actually non-different from God. This is very nicely explained by Brahmanji in the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 35. He says, Eko pyasaracha yatam jagananda koti yachakterasti jagananda chaya yadanta andam tadasta palamanu shayam tadastam govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout these universes at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. So actually, there's no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. So actually we accept oneness of everything. But at the same time, there is a distinction. There is a distinction and there's not a distinction. You may say, well, how is that possible? Well, we can say, like in this country, you know, there's there's this huge body of people known as the Australian citizens. And they are all one because they are all Australian citizens. But yet you have male, female, black, white, etc. You see, within that one distinction of Australian citizens, there are yet so many distinctions within that one category. So in the same way, you see, this Achinsa Veda Veda philosophy can be understood. So, we really have to understand that we're coming out of an impersonal, polluted consciousness. This is why we pray, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesu Shunyavadi Moshishade Shatarine. And our respectful obeisances are unto you, O the servant of Saraswati Goswami, who is so kindly preaching this message of Lord Chaitanya Dev and delivering these Western countries which are so filled up with impersonalism and voidism. So the fact is, it's a very, very impersonal atmosphere. Impersonalism and voidism is being propagated by the scientists, like Dr. Stephen Hawking. You know, he says, the universe comes out of absolutely nothing. You see, this is voidism. And then the spiritualists talk about we're all one. So this is a very polluted atmosphere. We don't know how to actually give love in a place where we can trust, in complete faith and trust. And so we've given our love to so many people and we've been cheated again and again and again and again. So now we have to give our love to Krishna. We have to trust in Krishna. Krishna will not let us down. Everything that he states in the Bhagavad Gita, he will abide by every promise he makes. He will abide by every promise that he makes. So without any hesitation, Krishna says, Ma suchaha, do not hesitate, do not worry. You see. Without any hesitation, we should just say, okay, Krishna, here I am, take me, I'm yours. Do with me whatever you want to with me. Like Prabhupada prayed in his arrival prayer, he said, now I am a puppet, make me dance. Now I am your puppet, make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. This is our mood, this is the mood we should be in. And we're chanting Hare Krishna mantra. We are begging Krishna to take complete, absolute control of our lives. My Lord, you can do whatever you want to with me. You can handle me roughly by your embrace, or you can leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. In any condition, in all conditions, you remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. We see people who, you know, they approach God, but when they don't get what they want, they reject God. Prabhupada gives the example of his godbrother. There was one German godbrother, actually, from Germany. He joined Gaudiya Mutha. This German godbrother related how in World War II, all the ladies, they were during Hitler's reign, all the men were called up for military service. The old men, the young men, the old men, everybody was called up for military service. So the ladies are going to pray, my dear Lord, please bring back my father. They're going to the church. Bring back my father, my husband, my brothers, my sons. Please bring them back safe and sound from this war. And the fact is, many of them did not come back. It was just, they got decimated in World War II. A huge decimation of people in World War II. So, Prabhupada's godbrother explained how after World War II, atheism became very predominant in Germany. As long as we approach God as our order supplier, you see, we're not putting God in the center, we're keeping ourselves in the center. In such a state of mind, we can reject God immediately. Because it's all based on my getting from God what I want. Now, it may not be my karma to get that thing. So we should not approach God like that. That's a very foolish thing. You may get your desire fulfilled, but you won't get deliverance from this material existence. Therefore, instead of praying in that mood, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me, give me, what can I give you? How can I serve you? How can I please you? What do you want me to do? We can pray to Srila Prabhupada, please engage me in what way, whatever way I can best serve your mission, Srila Prabhupada. In this way, selflessly, completely give ourselves as servants of Srila Prabhupada, Lord Krishna, and our own spiritual masters, completely give ourselves as selfless servants. Whatever you want to do, I'm simply your servant. Please engage me. This is how we will actually be able to come out of the dark cloud of impersonalism and come to actual love, genuine love. Bhakti. Bhakti means genuine love. Divine love. Not this mundane love, it's simply love. Divine love, that is bhakti. We are not meant to suffer in the clutches of mundane so-called love. We're not meant to suffer in those clutches. We are actually meant to relish the sublime mellows of divine love, bhakti. This process of Krishna consciousness movement will take us there if we simply follow Prabhupada's instructions sincerely, on a regular daily basis, with patience, determination, and enthusiasm. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
Buddhism is also voyeurism. Buddhism.
Buddhism?
Is it voyeurism also?
Yes, Buddhism is voyeurism, shunyavadi. Yes. In Buddhist philosophy, everything is void. Everything is zero. There is nothing. Nothing exists. It's all, everything's an illusion. There is no everything is false. There's no oneness, there's no God. It's just the void. That's all. It's an empty void, that's the reality, according to Buddhist philosophy.
All these people following Buddhism, that they could be atheists?
The Buddhists nowadays are doing it, they don't even understand the philosophical meaning of Buddhism. They take Buddhism as a way to get material desires satisfied. I remember I met some Buddhists in Berkeley many years ago. They said, if you will chant this mantra, something like Nami Go Renki Kyoto or something like that, they said, you will get whatever you want. If you want a new car, you get it. They set up your little shrine in your house, a little altar, a little scroll with some mantra on it, and you can chant this Buddhist mantra. And then whatever you want, you get it, a new car, you know, a girlfriend, whatever you want, you just chant the Buddhist mantra and you get it. Completely deviated from real Buddhism. Real Buddhism, you see, in the Zen monasteries, they still have a philosophical understanding of you know, voidism, but it's not practical. They try to, you know, they have different what are called koans or riddles that they meditate on, like what is the sound of one hand clapping? You see, you're supposed to realize what is the sound of one hand clapping. It doesn't make any sense, but you meditate on these senseless koans. You sit in rigid austerities and eat little brown rice. And if you fall asleep, they hit you. The Zen master whacks you with a stick. They have to practice mana. It's very austere in the Zen monasteries, you see. But actually, if you look into their philosophy, that was the last book I had, the last book I threw away before I joined the temple was a book called Zen Flesh, Zen Bones. And So the different stages of Buddhist realization. In the final stage, you actually become God. That it said that when the Zen monk is walking down the road, the flowers are blooming because of him. He is making the flowers bloom. So again, you know, it's another way. The set that again, it's you know, it's nonsense philosophy. They try to enter the void, but actually. And then the ultimate end, they want to be God again.
That means they are also, they want to become, then they are also Mayavadis.
Everybody wants to be the Supreme. I mean, that's the bottom line. This mature world, we came here because we wanted to be the Supreme. Our disease is we want to be the Supreme. You may try to do it through Buddhist philosophy, through, you know, in every field, everybody's trying to be the Supreme. In politics, they want to be the Prime Minister. In music, they want to be a rock star. You know, in every field, they want to be the Supreme. Everybody's trying to be the Supreme. And that's the whole problem. We're not the Supreme, but we keep trying to be the Supreme in different ways. You see, my body philosophy is a last resort for people who couldn't be the Supreme in any other way. They tried to make it in academically, they flunked out of school. They tried to make it in music. They formed a rock band, but nobody could stand their music. You know, they tried to make it in, you know, he tried out for the football team, and he couldn't qualify. He tried so many ways for supremacy, and he couldn't, but now he's in it. But now, I finally won up. He embraces my body philosophy. Now I know that I am God. So these are all different ways. People are, everyone's trying for supremacy in every way. In every single sphere of the society, people are trying to establish I am the Supreme in different ways. Like a little kid with his parents, he wants to be the Supreme over his parents and control them, isn't it? So everybody's trying to be the Supreme. But the fact is, we are not the Supreme, only Krishna is the Supreme. And we might as well just realize that we are not the Supreme and Krishna is the Supreme and get down to being a good servant of the Supreme. And then we say, well, I want to be the Supreme because that's where the most enjoyment is. But actually, that's not true. Krishna sees there is more enjoyment being his servant than there is in being he himself, therefore he also wants to become his own servant as Sri Caitanya Mahaprabhu. Because the greatest nectar is in being the servant of the Supreme. Krishna notices that Radharani is enjoying more than me. I'm the Supreme Enjoyer. How is it this girl, Radharani Gaurangi, is enjoying more than me, so let me also be like her. Because she's tasting more nectar than I am, let me be like her, this Gaurangi. I will become Gauranga, you see. And I will become a devotee also. I'm my own devotee. And taste the highest, the supreme nectar of being a devotee of Krishna. So the Lord Himself decides to join the Hare Krishnas to get more bliss than being God. In other words, it's more blissful to be a Hare Krishna than it is to be God Himself. According to what we see in Krishna becoming Lord Chaitanya. So we shouldn't feel, well, I can't really be happy unless I'm God. When God Himself wants to increase His own happiness by becoming His devotee, that is God's position. So actually, there's nothing more blissful than being a devotee of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Okay, any question?
When I was atheist, I almost got hit by lightning twice. How do I avoid being hit by lightning the third time?
Okay, what's the question?
When he was 8 years old, he was...
How many years?
Eight,
okay.
Then he was hit by the lightning twice.
Yeah.
So how he said, how can I avoid to be hit by the lightning third time?
How can he do what?
How can he avoid
being struck by lightning again? Actually, don't worry about it. Just become Krishna conscious. A devotee doesn't mind if he's struck by lightning. If I'm struck by lightning, Krishna wants me to be struck by lightning. Mare Krishna Rake Kri Rake Krishna Mare Kri. If Krishna wants to kill me immediately, I'm ready. I don't mind. If Krishna wants to kill me, nobody can protect me. And if Krishna wants to protect me, nobody can kill me. So the devotee simply puts himself, my dear Lord, whatever you want to do, if you strike me with lightning, I don't care. If you want me to be struck by lightning, I'm ready immediately. Whatever you like. I'm simply your servant. So devotee has therefore no fear. Even death is not fearful for a devotee because he knows I will not die unless Krishna has a reason for me to die. So the devotee just surrenders to Krishna's plan. Whatever comes, comes. Not in any anxiety. Whatever Krishna does is all right. He's got complete faith. There's one story in this connection. There was a king, and he had a prime minister. The prime minister was very Krishna conscious. He would always say, whatever Krishna does is all right. So the king cut off his little finger in some accident. And the prime minister said, don't worry, your majesty. Whatever Krishna does is all right. He said, what? I lost my finger. You're saying it's all right. Into the dungeon, you rascal. How dare you say such a thing? So you know that in the Vedic times, the kings, they would go hunting in the forest to practice the killing art because these kings were not cowards. If there was an attack by the enemy, they would lead the charge on the battlefield. So they had to be very, very expert in the art of killing in order to be king. So the king would sometimes go to the forest to practice the killing art by ridding the forest of the wild animals that harassed the sages. So the king, he went on one of his hunting expeditions, leaving the prime minister behind in the dungeon, and he was kidnapped by some Kali worshippers, dacoits, who were making human sacrifice. And they were preparing him for sacrifice, the goddess Kali. But then the last minute they noticed, oh my goodness, he's missing a finger, we can't offer him the goddess Kali, she'll be furious. So they let him go. And he was thinking, oh, the prime minister said whatever Krishna does is all right. And just see how I would say it. If I lost my finger, but my life was saved, he went immediately back to the palace. He went to the dungeon to release the prime minister. The prime minister is sitting there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Very peacefully chanting Hare Krishna. He said, my dear prime minister, I locked you up in the prison. You did nothing wrong. Are you not angry at me? He said, no, your majesty. I always go with you on those hunting trips, and I have all my fingers. Whatever Krishna does is all right. So in this way, we have to have complete faith in Krishna. That Krishna's plan is perfect. I just have to surrender whatever Krishna wants, you see, and then my life will be perfect. Trouble is we're fighting against Krishna. That is the difficulty. We're not surrendering. That is the difficulty. We are not surrendering to Krishna. We are fighting with Krishna. That is the problem. So stop fighting with Krishna and surrender to Krishna, and then everything will be all right. You'll be feeling oh so good, oh so fine all the time. You just gotta say, okay, Krishna, I'm not gonna fight anymore. Whatever you wanna do with me, I belong to you now for all of eternity. Srila Prabhupada, no question? Okay.
How does Mayavada manifest in devotees? Because we know we have Jnana Nishtha.
How does Mayavada philosophy manifest in devotees?
Yes.
Yes. Well, have you ever had a devotee be impersonal with you? You ever been treated in a rude, impersonal way by a devotee? Yes or no? Yeah, sure, we all have. If we've been rude, we've been impersonal. All of us do that sometimes. This is our neophyte, Mayavadi contamination, you see. Instead of being kind and loving, we tend to be puffed up and impersonal. So, it's a natural, the neophyte devotees have this impersonal tendency. It's a natural thing. So we have, but we have the supreme personalist Srila Prabhupada here showering his loving mercy on all of us. So we just have to connect with Srila Prabhupada and with the those who are very advanced concerning Prabhupada. We have to connect with these people who are always giving love to everyone and learn the art of how to give, always give love to everyone. It's stated by Srila Prabhupada that a Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy. He's not rude, he's not inconsiderate. A true Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy. So we have to be merciful, that's all. Instead of being impersonal, instead of being rude, instead of being inconsiderate, we have to always think how I can serve the Vaishnavas, how I can make the Vaishnavas happy. That's how to overcome that impersonal tendency. So yeah, it's definitely there. When devotees are rude, when they're proud, all these are symptoms of impersonalism. Yeah. Okay, anything else? Everyone satisfied now? All questions are answered, all doubts are eliminated. Everyone's ready to completely, totally give themselves to Krishna without any hesitation. This is what Prabhupada wants us to do. He doesn't want us to hold on to our anarthas, our lust, our anger, our ego. It's just how we can keep hanging on to these things. It's actually uncanny. They were holding on to these things. My dear, my precious lusty desires, my precious anger, my precious greed. We have this false idea that somehow by holding on to these things that we can be happy. It's completely untrue. It's completely bogus philosophy which is still sitting there in our heart. Well, I can't really give up completely, you know, being attracted to the opposite sex. I mean, how would I be happy? I mean, come on. We have to come to the transcendental platform. That's the only place we can surely be satisfied. We have to become like Shukadeva. Completely transcendental to the all material designations. Completely transcendental. So anyway, thank you all very much for attending class today. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vandalab Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
His Grace Srimad Shankar Sundar Kulkarni Maharaj ki
jai.